very middle of your Bible, Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55, and it's on page 753 in the Chapel Bibles. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander of the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee, because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word be, that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. May the Lord bless those words to our hearts tonight. There are many, many interesting subjects that come up in the Bible, and many people that either have a faith in Christ or those that don't are interested in many of those subjects. But the purpose of our series is to cut through all of that and say, well, what does it matter? What does it matter? Any of those things if we're not right with God? This is the all-important thing, that you need to be right with God. You know what that means. You don't need me to explain that. To be right with God. If it was a human being, somebody in your family or a circle of friends or somebody you worked with, to be right with them means you can look them in the face and they can look you in yours. It's a bit harder with God, looking him in the face, but we can look, come to him in prayer. I just know that we're right with God. That's the all-important thing for you. Don't worry about anything else in life until you've got that sorted out. Our verse this week is from Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. It's just that one verse. Now, as we said at the start of this series, it's the most important matter for anyone to consider. Where do I stand when it comes to God? Am I right with God? One Christian writer, a man we would greatly respect, used this expression, right with God, for a little book, a good book, which is about becoming a Christian. And he called his book Right with God. And it's still a useful book to have if you want to become a Christian. So are you right with God? Do you have a right relationship? Do you know that if you died tonight, you would be safe? You would go to be with God. If you are right with God, well, everything else will fit into place. If you're not right with God, well, nothing fits into place. Nothing is near as important for you to think about and act upon. So on these four Sundays, one was 2 weeks ago, where we thought about why do I need to be right with God? If you missed that, the recording is on our website, and you can still get that. Tonight we're going to think about when should I be right with God? Next week, how do I become right with God? And then fourthly, in the middle of May, what is the result of all that? Well, we're coming to answer some of those questions, we hope, which are vital to your eternal safety, to your happiness. And the answers are all here to be found in the Bible. Right with God, then. When? And we've chosen the verse tonight, which you don't even have to look up in your Bibles, because it's over my head. Isaiah 55 and verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near." Last 2 weeks, we thought about why it's important to be right with God. And we took as our text Mark chapter 8, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" What good is that? When it comes to your soul, it's a profit and loss situation, and it has to be addressed. And we saw that to lose your soul is balanced against what appears to be a substantial gain, to gain the whole world. But to lose your soul, it means a tragic loss here and now in your life. You miss out on so much. It means at death, that will be your great awakening. And it means eternal judgment if you are not right with God. And we saw that the temporary gain of putting the matter of not being right with God, it's far outweighed by the loss of your soul. And we saw that the Lord has given us a better way. There are important things. They're too important for us to ignore, and we're asking the question, when? Now, you might think that's a silly question. I hope you do, because it means it's important to you. When, obviously, the Bible tells us as soon as you possibly can. So think again then about that text. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he's near. This verse has been above my head in this church for 30 years. We're getting on that way. And the main reason we chose that text was because of one word in it, and that's the word while. While he may be found. We're asking when tonight, when should I seek to get right with God? And what's the answer? Well, while. It's no use fixing a time like I'm going to get with God when I'm ready. I'm too busy at the moment. That's an unacceptable time to the Lord. Why should God wait for you to find an acceptable time in your diary? Getting right with God is for your benefit, not his. Or when he answers my questions, I've got all these questions like, why does he allow war? And why do good people suffer? Why are there so many religions? Why would God want to answer all those questions? He's the God, he's the judge of all the earth. He does fairly in everything he does. And if we don't understand it, we will one day, to our eternal gain or our eternal loss. But do you really expect God to account for the way he rules the world? Here's the picture. Well, this is a picture. It's a courtroom scene. God is in the dock where the accused have to stand. Everyone is passing judgment on him. And all the witnesses are brought forward, and it's the judge who has to pronounce his heavily considered verdict. Is that the picture you have in your mind? God in the dock? If so, when should I get right with God hardly comes into it. But it's a totally wrong picture. When it comes to preparing for eternity, it's a courtroom scene and God is the judge and you're in the dock and I'm in the dock. And the witnesses, well, your conscience, God's law, his word, those windows of opportunity that you've had in your life and ignored, these are all witnesses against you. But the important word is the word while. It's the word used in Isaiah's answer to this question when we're asking, what's the difference? Well, when suggests a specific pre-chosen time, but while, that's a period, usually a fairly short period, and it won't last forever, but it's now going forward. When is, well, it could be next Thursday, or it could be a week on Tuesday. It could have been a year ago and we missed it. But while means that there is still opportunity, but it won't last forever. What do we notice then about our text? Well, notice certain things. Getting right with God is about seeking a person, not a thing. So many people make this mistake. I don't know that I've really thought about it before, but people like me, we spent years thinking it was all about a thing. It was a case of overcoming lust in one's life, telling lies, bad language. It's a question of overcoming these things, addiction to something like drink or drugs for some people. It's all about that. That's what becoming a Christian is all about, getting right with God. No, it's not. It's about seeking a person. You need a person. It was, if I could stop sexual things, longings, telling lies and swearing, I'd be getting there. I'd be getting God's favour. And I didn't see it. There's a living person in all this. What you need is Jesus Christ. And he's alive. That's why, because he's alive and able to save, that's why you need him. Not a thing. For me, it didn't become clear until I heard the gospel for the first time. It's just what the Apostle Thomas found out in that reading, John 14, when he was with the other disciples in the upstairs room where Jesus and his friends were holding their Passover celebrations, and Jesus mystified them when he talked about going away from them. And he told them he was going to prepare a place for them in heaven where there were many mansions. But he would come back and he'd receive them so that where he was, they would be. It was a mysterious concept, but it sounded fairly good until he said, well, you know where I'm going and you know the way. And it was Thomas who voiced what was going through the mind of all those disciples. Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He was telling them that the way to heaven isn't an achievement. The way to heaven isn't overcoming something or doing something different. The way to heaven is a person. It's him, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Son of God. That's the way to get right with God. It's to come to Jesus Christ, to seek him, to ask him to save you, and then to believe that he has saved you through his blood shed on the cross of Calvary. So what am I telling you tonight? I'm telling you that you need to get right with God. And you're going off to think about what you have to do to get right with God. But you need him. You need to get right with God by approaching Jesus Christ in prayer, seeking his pardon, his love, and for him to intervene in your life. You need to do that. You've done everything else, but it's the one thing you haven't done. You haven't really sought Jesus Christ to come into your life and save you. That's the first thing that we notice about this text, which is in the Bible and it's above my head. Second thing is he can be found. He can be found. There's no religion that I can think of where the founder says, you know, you can seek and find me. Can you find the founder of any other religion? The Eastern religions, the strange mystical religions, can you find their founder? No, they're dead. You can't find them. But you can find the living God in Jesus Christ. He's a real living person. You know, that sounds, I thought it even as I was thinking it to start with, it sounds like something Christians say because they want you to think it's personal. So they say, oh, Jesus is a real living person, but they don't really mean it. Well, they do mean it because he is. It is personal. It's about you, your personal need, and a personal saviour who wants to help you in that need. If it were not personal, it wouldn't exist. When Jesus told those disciples he was going away, they must have really panicked because it had all been about him for the last 3.5 years. Here was the Lord giving them instructions as to how they were to preach the gospel of forgiveness, to call for repentance. Well, that was all right as long as he was there, standing next to them, healing the sick and casting out demons. Anybody would believe that. But he was going away. How could that work? But just before he went away physically from them, he promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And later he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Was he with them? Was he really with them when the church started? Well, look what happened. The Jewish feast of Pentecost, 50 days after Easter, and those nervous disciples were together in the upper room, and suddenly great power came upon them. They spilled out into the street, and they manifested strange phenomena which had never been seen before. And the people accused them of being drunk. And Peter explained publicly and persuasively that that was impossible. Look at the time of day. This phenomena was the almighty power of God that he had promised. And Peter preached Christ. What happened next was that 3,000 people came to faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the joy of knowing Christ as their Saviour. That's history. It happened. It's also history that a few days later, 5,000 people became Christians. Why? Because Jesus isn't really a living person and it's just a theory that we put forward to persuade people. No, because this is personal. It's about a living relationship which Christ will have with every single person here who believes in Jesus tonight. Because Christ can be found. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. You can actually find this living person. You won't see him with your eyes and shake hands with him. It's not physical, but it's more than physical. It's so real, you'll know it in your heart that you've believed and trusted in the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find Christ tonight. Seek him. You won't find him trying to be better or trying to give up certain bad things. You seek him, not things, him. Have you really considered the phenomena of the Christian church? Here is a religion which begins with its leader being killed, like a criminal, by religious leaders. And right from the start, it was opposed by the Jews and the Romans, and every civilization since has sought to either wipe it out or reduce it to ridicule. And still, the Christian message spreads through the whole world, and tonight there are people becoming Christians, intelligent people becoming Christians. There are many who are scientists, far brighter and more clever than those evolutionary scientists who tell us that we all came out of nothing by accident. And they've come to believe in Jesus Christ by faith. It can only be because the Lord can be found. We're not claiming we found the secret to life in some magic potion or set of instructions. What we're claiming is that we found Jesus Christ. He is found, and he does make men and women right with God. Not only is he found, he is near. He is near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's not a million miles away, and he's not dead. And it's not that he's not interested. God said it in the Old Testament, he's near the person that is of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. If you feel your sin and know you need to be saved, he's near. He's so near you could almost touch him. It means the person who admits they are sinners and feels sorry about it can get right with God. How near is the Lord? Well, he's so close that he'll answer you when you call upon his name, as long as you mean it. He doesn't always answer in the same night or the same time. Sometimes he wants you to seek a little bit harder, because he does say, "You shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." He doesn't want half-hearted, half-baked seekers. He wants those who really feel their need. Pull the two together. What do you have? You've got a Saviour who is real, one who cares and who would rather, far rather, forgive you than condemn you. He's the Lord. He's not your servant to come when it's convenient for you. Becoming a Christian is always, for everyone, a matter of coming to know Jesus Christ by faith, and he's more willing to save you than you are to be saved. He's that near. He really is near. And he wants us to seek and call. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Is this some sort of game? Is he playing games with us? No, of course not. The Lord isn't playing with us. But he's had centuries of half-hearted, well, sort of interested, I suppose, type seekers. He doesn't want that. He wants you to be a real seeker, to come to him. It's not about the dignity of being a seeker. Do you know what I mean? That woman who assures you she's not an atheist, but I can't really say I'm a Christian yet. I'm a seeker. And there's a satisfied look on her face, because it's good to be a seeker. It means I'm open-minded. Well, that's all right then. But it might not be if she's giving the same answer in 5 years' time. Being a seeker means you really want to know, and you will find. She finds sitting on the fence is a decent perch, because it doesn't mean overcommitment and it doesn't cause embarrassment. And you know, this isn't about extensive research into the scientific probability of the Christian faith being true. You can seek in a wrong way, as though God is going to be honoured that you should give him your time and attention. No, seek the Lord to be your Lord and Saviour when you find him. And as I quoted just now from Jeremiah, "You shall seek me and you'll find me when you shall search for me with all your heart." It sounds almost like a contradiction. He's there to be found, he's near, but I've got to search for him with all my heart. No, it's not a contradiction. You will find him. He's close. He can be found. But he's not just waiting for you to fit him into your busy agenda. You've got to want to be right with God. You know, for many people, they come at a certain time in their life and they say, "I'm really keen." And 10 years later, they still haven't come to the Lord, but still they come seeking. And then it comes to the point where they so want to be right with God, they will not let it go. And they insist that God saves them through Jesus Christ. You can be that definite. So come to the Lord that you won't take no for an answer. And he won't give you no for an answer. This is the matter of your eternal soul. That's seeking. Why does he want me to call upon him? Well, it's those who call on the name of the Lord who shall be saved. The great danger is that you'll decide you believe in God. Of course you do. You believe in Jesus Christ. Well, of course you do. But so do the demons. So does Satan himself. If you're drowning in the sea and you let yourself drown without calling for help, it shows you didn't think you were drowning, or you didn't mind drowning, or you thought you could save yourself, or you presumed the lifeguards were sufficiently expert to help. But if you don't call out to Christ to help you, it shows the same thing. You need to call to the Lord, meaning it. But I want to just close with that word, while. The while is all important. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Because there's a limit to God's patience. If there's a limit on something that you and I do, it's usually a weakness. But this isn't a sign of weakness. With God, he has limited himself. It's a sign that your forgiveness is important to him, but it has to become important to you. He may be found. He is near. when can he be found? Well, the period in which he may be found is a long period, but there will come a time when you might start calling and he won't hear you. Isaiah was speaking to a very stubborn and persistently sinful people in chapter 59 when he said, "The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear." I hope you can see then, it's not a silly question to say, when? When is the time to get right with God? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let's think again before we close tonight. Is there a time when he may not be found? As far as you're concerned, is there a time when he'll be far away and he won't hear you call? Yes, there are seven times. Seven times when the Lord will not hear you when you call upon him. Seven times when it is too late to seek the Lord. Firstly, when Jesus returns from heaven. That's coming. We don't know when. We know that Antichrist will have all but wiped out the Christian church from the earth when Jesus returns from heaven. But that doesn't mean you'll be seeking the Lord. Mere churchgoers will be part of the great apostasy of that day. Those that say, well, actually, if it's going to mean that, I'm not that bothered. Only too ready to abandon anything close to true faith. Number one, it's too late when Jesus returns from heaven. Second one is obvious, when you die. The farmer in Jesus' parable that we mentioned recently was busy planning the luxurious details of his long and happy retirement. Have you done that? Well, it's very easy to sit down and plan the long and happy details of your retirement. There's always that question, will I be there to enjoy it? So many people I know I used to work with that said, oh, I'm going to retire. A year later, they've gone. Somehow, retirement didn't suit them. And this man, this farmer, heard God say, "Fool, you fool, this night your soul is required of you. So whose then will those things be that you provided?" Secondly, then, it's too late when you die. And then thirdly, it's too late when your heart has become so crusted over after years of procrastination. Does anybody not know what procrastination means? It's the thief of time. Delaying and delaying and delaying and leaving it. When your heart has become so crusted over after years of procrastination, you just don't feel it anymore. You feel a sense of need, but procrastination is the thief of time. Putting it off till you have a more convenient season. That is in the Bible. It's allowing the inconvenience of stirring yourself to action, allowing that to harden your heart. And Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 says, today, not next week, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. You don't get any more feeling or sensitive to your spiritual need as the years go by. The need to get right with God becomes less and less until you just can't be bothered. And then when you finally make the wrong choice, that's the fourth. Thankfully, God doesn't always take us seriously when we decide, no, this just isn't for me. I know people that have said, no, I'm giving up. I'm not going to bother becoming a Christian. And then the Lord has not taken it seriously. They've said, I'm going to settle for life here and now. I'm going to make the best of it. Many have said that, and a few days, a few weeks, even years later, something has happened to jolt them out of that sad state. God hasn't taken their death wish seriously. DNR is over their heads. And the doctor looks and says, I'm not going to take that seriously. I'm going to resuscitate this patient. DNR is over the heads of lots of people. They say, no, don't resuscitate me. I don't want to know. But Lord, the Lord doesn't take it seriously. Sometimes, do not resuscitate is not an instruction God is bound by. But if finally you have made that choice and you finally said no to God, why, maybe it's too late. When you're too embarrassed to change, that's the fifth. Sometimes you so commit yourself to the happy life, to friends who admire you, to a way of life, well, it would be too embarrassing to alter, even though secretly you know it's time to find peace with God. You really can't, because what would your admiring friends, relatives and associates say? So many people think you're cool and think you're a good laugh to be with. You can't let them down, can you? It'd be embarrassing to change. Well, that's an occasion when it's too late. And then sixthly, when you're so involved with something that you can't get out of it, like a busy life. Maybe work comes first, and I've got to finish this. You know, people now work till they're 65, and then they go on till they're 70 or 80, and there are people still working when they're 90, and you say to them, well, aren't you going to retire ever? Well, no. I've got to keep going. They're so involved in a busy life. Or maybe in family. You get so involved in the family, committed to this, committed to that, taking the children here, collecting those, going to see grandma, doing this. And you're so involved in family life. It's a trap. It started so freely, but now you're on the committee of that hobby, that group. Maybe it's even a church, or quite acceptable commitment, but getting out of it now, it would be letting people down. You don't want to do that, do you? You'd rather go to hell than let people down, wouldn't you? Or when you're putting, this is the seventh, when you're putting any other pursuit in life before your need to hear the gospel. I heard a preacher once use an illustration which I've never been able to improve upon, and I use it myself many times. He said, how can you be born again? It's not something you do, it's something God does. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it wants, where it chooses. You hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes, so that you're not able to tell. That's his point. You're not able to tell where the wind is coming from or where it's going. But you can go to where it's blowing if you want to be in the wind. And this preacher said, do you want to get right with God? Well, the Holy Spirit is moving where the gospel is preached. And yet you're putting some other pursuit in life before an opportunity to hear the gospel. There's a friend I had once who was so determined to get right with God that she came to both services and the prayer meeting and even to Sunday school rather than miss an opportunity when the wind was blowing. And she became a fine Christian girl. When should you get right with God? When do you think? The answer's obvious, isn't it? Well, let's turn to our closing hymn.